This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the results, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
No, I won't be afraid. No, I won't be afraid, just as long as you stand by. So darling, darling, stand by me. Oh, stand by me. Oh, stand. Stand by me. Stand by me. Stand by me.
When I go home late at night, this is a song that I really like to sing right now, so I'll play it for you. It's called My Old Man.
When you first meet him and you see him stripped and you see him training, his physical condition at 36 is fantastic, and he's exactly what we're looking for.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of myoldmansaid.com. And we're back, and on today's show, I have the pleasure, most podcasts just have, you know, a couple of Muppets waffling on about, I don't know, transfer rumours or whatever, but I thought we'd get right to the crux of the matter, the hot debate. So on today's show, I've managed to get in a football agent who knows a thing or two about the transfer market. Actually, he's the agent of John Terry. So John Terry's agent, Dan Rogers, welcome to the show.
Do you know what? I am delighted to be here. I have not had my intravenous injection of Villa for a couple of weeks, and you turn the button off and you go away and you think, what could possibly happen? And then you turn it back on and it's John Terry and Glenn Whelan in the same paragraph. It's you know, it's like the Villa universe just divides by zero, doesn't it, on itself in pre-season.
And if you're listening to this show for the first time, this is actually Dan Rogers of VillaUnderground.com, and not he hasn't been moonlighting as John Terry's agent. It looks like we're going for the over 30, over 35 club to bolster us.
We've tried everything else. We tried to sign all of the lower league players. We tried to sign the Moneyball players. All of France, anyone
young
called
and
Jordan.
Hungry.
So now what are we doing? We're
retirement home.
We're scaring the retirement homes of Chelsea and Stoke. Going, have they got a pulse? Pulse optional.
So how are you anyway? I thought you were ignoring my messages and cries. We had to do a show. I know you've been creeping around watching the cricket at Edgbaston.
The summer's a lovely thing where you can. It's the football experience versus the cricket experience, isn't it?
So there's only one winner, and I'm not even that big on cricket, but it's still only one winner.
And I love the Villa. I love the cricket, but I love the Villa. But the experience is, I mean, anyone who goes knows that, you know, a beer in your seat all day. You're not hassled by stewards. You're treated like a human being. Virtually anything goes within reason. Football ground, you're, you know, a law-abiding citizen, virtually treated as a convict still whilst you're in there. So,
indeed. I mean, I've just come back from the football consultation group meeting with Keith Wyness.
He's back.
He's back from his ban. Looking very suntanned. I mean, we'll talk about this in a second, but that is very much on the agenda, is improving the experience of going to see Villa. And I'll go through a few of the things when we touch on it. But anyway, while we've been away, some of the main news bits over the last few weeks. Well, let's look at the most current one quickly. Leandro Bacuna is a winner. I can't even remember who he plays for, but he just won the Caribbean Cup. Curacao have won the Caribbean Cup. Not quite the Champions League, but it's baby steps. I know he's your favourite player. So you sent him a DM, didn't you, congratulating him?
Well, congratulating him. So it looks like the kind of... It's up there with the Peace Cup, isn't it, the Caribbean Cup? You'll probably be... If anyone knows the reception at the North Stand that houses the less-than-important trophies the club has been awarded. I think is it the Intertoto in the North Stand Intertoto reception alongside the Peace Cup and...
Caribbean Cup looks a bit... I think it's... it's actually on the cover of this podcast. It looks a little bit...
It's a little bit like, Dunnell Mill, isn't it?
Yeah, like a poor man's UEFA Cup.
Yes.
In other news, what else has been happening? Keith Wynas, our mighty leader, got done for retweeting, and the FA, they banned him. He's back now. He's been out for 3 weeks. He wasn't allowed to get involved in any football whatsoever.
How do they enforce that?
Well, they don't really. I mean, you know.
So if he was, I don't know, say goes, right, screw it, I'm going to go away to the Caribbean for a couple of weeks, and he's found playing beach football with Eric Cantona, would he be, what would happen? Would he be found in contempt?
Well, I don't think they're actually, I don't think they've got a drone following him, or they're not watching him on some kind of satellite surveillance. I think he's...
Yeah, no, he's still in Burger King. Yep.
He's obviously been on a good holiday because he looked very well and he was in good spirits. But no, seriously, had a great tan. 10 out of 10 for that tan.
Has he come back looking like... I measure people's well-being now on the Bruce factor. You know, when Bruce arrived and he looked in, you know,
looks
like
better
a
than Bruce.
Side. Wow. Wow.
He's looking good. He's looking good for promotion. But what did you think about that, the actual incident where he retweeted? It was the reaction to Nathan Baker getting sent... Well, it was the actual incident of Nathan Baker getting sent off, which we spoke about on the show, and I said it was a kind of a fair cop. I think he just retweeted it because at the spur of the moment, he thought here was the video evidence that Nathan Baker shouldn't have been sent off, and he didn't really read the context of it, remind me, I can't even remember.
Well, I think it was the context. Essentially, the tweet.
Oh, that he was disabled.
Quoted, that the referee was disabled. And I think what only Keith Wynas will know, won't he, whether he read that and he thought that that was funny, because the comment isn't funny, actually, when you think about it. For a group of our fans, I imagine it's not very funny at all. But only Keith Wynas will know.
The actual humour, kind of, it's almost like 70s, 80s, isn't it?
Well, if that's what he meant, as I say, I'm not going to sit here. At the end of the day, he got a ban from the FA, so they weren't convinced by whatever he said, and I'm not going to suggest that the FA are the best judge and jury in the world. But but anyway, I think that it came at a bad time, because actually it's shocking PR for the club at a time where they're trying to build some traction. They've got to put that behind them, and I think perhaps, as I'm sure they are, reach out now and try and put that wrong, right?
I mean, this is the tricky tightrope they both, him and Dr. Tony, walk when trying to get pally and engaging on Twitter. I mean, it's you've kind of got to, when you send anything, you've got to give it an extra split second before you press send.
I'll extend it further than that, because I mean, I've written a few times about Zai's Twitter, and you know that. I think it's good for communicating. I think it's great for, you know, letting the fans feel like they're connected. But, you know, when you start, it's amusing from our point of view, but it does at times creep towards Trumpism, doesn't it, where you think, it's just awful, isn't it? It's cringe. The other thing is, and this is actually what I spent those 2 weeks when I went dark doing, was because there was no real news. Well, I was rogue, and I found myself looking at the Instagrams of a number of Villa players, past and present, what they're doing. You know, the live updates they can do, the Snapchats and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it just baffles me the view that certain players, past and present, give us into their lifestyles and what they think that, you know, we understand that they're incredibly wealthy, but they just seem, there's a total disconnect there. I think that when I look at it and I can think of, I'll name names actually, you know, when I look at Bakuna's Instagram and some of the videos he posts, when I look at Hepburn Murphy's, when I look at Henry Lansbury's stuff, I just think, you know.
They're like kind of wannabe poor man gangsters. That's where they're taking their leads from.
It's... cringe. It's cringe. And actually, you know, at the end of the day, that what they do in their own time is up to them. And, you know, there's plenty of people that broadcast their lives worldwide.
Got a feeling if they listen to this, we'll be arranging to meet in some car park in Birmingham at some point.
Well, mate, they can live stream it or Periscope it, can't they? And with their snapbacks and their...
Yeah, exactly. Fucking snapbacks. The only other piece of major news was Dr. Tony having his heart surgery. We asked Keith about this in the meeting. Keith Wynas, and he said it was just like a minor little thing, and kind of played it down.
Yes, minor heart surgery. Yes, it just.
But I think Tony suggested it was something that he's known about for like 20 years, and it was just time to address it.
Well, obviously delighted he's got that fixed.
Yeah,
won't say it because I think it caught everyone off guard, didn't it? It's not the kind of thing, you know, given that the guy's.
I mean,
on Twitter
we can of course we can obviously joke about that's what one season owning Villa does and all that kind of stuff. But hopefully he's on the mend properly. And
Jesus,
that's all.
Christ, what must our insides look like? It must look like mints inside most Villa fans.
Yeah. That's only one season. Yeah, we're I don't know how we're surviving, people. We're all doing a grand job. We'd probably survive World War III as well. We're
like
kind of
cockroaches.
Bomb.
We'd still have Gabby. Gabby would crawl out of his shell, wouldn't he? He would break through from his.
So somebody said to me, some guy, I think it was from another Villa website. Let's not give him a free plug. said to me after this meeting with Wynas, he said, when we're like just debriefing, he said, well, it can only get better now. And I said, that's what we've been saying at the end of every season for the last 5 or 6 years. It's like, how can it get any worse? Well, just sit back in your deck chair and watch. We'll find a way. Anyway, let's move on. Right. I'll talk about this meeting quickly. I mean, mainly it was about, let's, for want of a better word, say the match day experience, the catering, a few people unhappy about Compass who have taken over and have failed to really kind of sort out the staff to kind of get queues down. You get, two people serving you, one's doing the till while the other one's waiting for them to finish the till, and then they'll wait for 30 seconds before they go off and get your drink. And, that kind of stuff that all needs sharpening up.
I mean, I'll throw in the cricket comparison. Granted, I think Edgbaston holds roughly half of what Villa Park holds, but just the simple things like the queuing system and I don't want to drag this podcast down to a discussion around queuing systems, but surely it's got to be in Villa's interest. It is dull, but how can we not, as a football club, serve a beer quickly? Edgbaston, you walk up, hey, get your beer, done.
There's a new guy in town who's, he's like some kind of operations director who's overseeing everything. He used to work at St Mary's at Southampton.
Right.
Liverpool, Wembley, and he's basically on a big troubleshooting thing. And the name actually escapes me because I was sitting next to him as well. And anyway, one kind of biggest takeaway in terms of that whole kind of thing is they have now got permission from the council to actually have a kind of a street foodie type setup in the Holt End car park.
Not before time.
And this is something, it's not going to be like every week, but the idea is to, I was trying to push them, will it be on the first home game of the season, and they didn't commit to that. But the idea is what they're going to do is every home game will be almost like planned as a unique event. So the idea is to have something that's different every time you go, just to kind of, give a bit of variety to the match day experience. So I think they're still... a few weeks away from kind of locking anything in, but expect a bit of pre-match entertainment and food and stuff in the Holt car park. I mean, one of the things they obviously have to throw in is all the increased kind of security issues about having outdoor events and all that kind of stuff in wake of what's happened over the summer.
Yeah, I mean, there's that consideration, but Villa have got good space in and around the ground, and I think if they were clever with how they used it, I mean, thinking of like the Holt End car park, it's on an elevated piece of road that's often shut off, isn't it, really?
Exactly.
It's a great location that you wouldn't have to do a lot. Look, the German market sort of model isn't complicated, is it? And it draws people in, and let's be honest, it's no more complicated than a shed, a sausage and a beer. Everyone's idea of fun.
And you get like the kind of EA Sports setting up some consoles that people can make, and they're talking about live music as well. So I mean, as you said, it's like a gated off area, so it is quite
ideal.
Pretty secure, and just have to obviously tell people to get lost in terms of parking. But apart from that, it's well overdue. I'm just looking through my notes here. There was talk about what songs that Villa should come out to. And this is, I mean, as I said to Wyness, we just suffer from not actually having a club song that would solve all the problems of, you know, the pre-match song. They're still talking about letting the captain, whoever that is, next season in on, you know, the song choice and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's kind
footballers,
of...
Footballers choosing music.
Yeah, well, we've already discussed the two-bit gangster vibes.
Well,
poor man's R&B and hip hop is probably what they listen to.
Dread to think what we would be coming out to, actually. In fact, I looked at Mark Bunn's Instagram. That's how much time I've had over the last couple of weeks in my spare time. And he was cruising into training.
Excuse me, I've been trying to contact you to do a podcast, and you've been scrolling through Mark Bunn's Instagram account, Rob.
It's research for the show. It's research for the show.
What kind of asshole are you?
When I'm in bed ignoring my wife and she's going, please talk to me, I'm going, no, I need to watch Mark Bunn cruising into training, listen to Damage.
Please feed the baby. No, Mark Bunn's got something to tell me.
John, I've been so busy.
One thing they are going to try to do is they're going to start an Aston Villa playlist on Spotify. And the idea is to almost use that as a kind of a voting thing to see what are the most popular songs that people are playing on it, and then probably incorporate a few of those choices, you know, in the pre-match. Soundscape. Oh, fuck. Music is one of my pleasures. And I could talk all day about music and what there should be played. One thing I said, come on, Keith, sort out the sound system. And he completely agrees with it, but it's something they're going to try to do something before they obviously have to fork out the cash to revamp it. I mean, that's only going to happen if we get in the Premier League, which is pretty much the answer to many questions.
Why didn't we do these things when we were in the Premier League?
Well, yeah, there's a very good question. What were we doing with all that money that we were earning in the Premier League? Giving it to
Tom
Fox?
We were paying it to Jordan Ayew and Rudy Gisted and Peter Enkelman. And we thought it'd be really, really good idea to...
that's the interesting thing is there's so many, like the whole North Stand rebuilding, this disabled space situation. All these things and more hinge on Villa getting promoted. And be interesting, that's the excuse that's used. So it'll be interesting to see what happens when we're finally promoted. Hopefully we're promoted and see if all these promises are rolled out.
Ah, something I wouldn't have mentioned, and this is a tricky one. I wasn't going to bring it up for the podcast, but it's kind of good because it's got some mystery, is that I was at Villa Park the day before you. Secret mission. I was. I wanted to know. Yeah. Now, this could be something fun for a few weeks down the line, but I wanted to know, did you catch sight of the pitch when you were there?
Well, we're in a room without window, a boardroom without windows.
The secret bunker. That's bunker.
The secret bunker, the promotion bunker. No, it didn't. Why? What's going on there?
Ah, well, I just thought, it always amazes me how
about the pitch, but sorry, carry on.
No, it always amazes me. I can't sow one small bald bit of patch on my grass at home, you know, my front or back lawn.
Yeah.
And yet they dig up the entire pitch the day after the season ends, and they've completely re-sown it, and it looks, Villa Park looks stunning.
I don't think they have dug it up.
They have. I was categorically told it's been completely redone.
Because they were going to do it. Because this is the question that was put to Keith about wasn't the pitch going to be revamped? And he said, oh, we decided against it in the end.
Well, I don't know what... It depends what revamp means, because I know we've got some sort of technology that sits within the turf, haven't we?
Yeah, because they were talking about lowering the pitch as well, because apparently it's a bit higher up. It's higher than the Doug Ellis stand. If you're at the bottom, because when you're talking about putting wheelchair spaces in at the base of the Doug Ellis stand, apparently it's actually sunk down there, that you're actually lower than pitch level.
Oh, perfect. No, I'd love to sit there.
Yeah. under the pitch. But that was one of the... That's when it came up. And apparently that whatever big renovation job on the pitch was going to happen, they kind of didn't bother in the end.
Maybe that's the big bit. I imagine digging out all that soil. I mean, what, that'd be tons and tons and tons, wouldn't it? But
yeah. Anyway, let's move on. Oh, the live streaming that overseas fans will be able to tap into. It isn't going to be like an annual subscription thing. It's going to be a match-on-match pay-per-view.
Yes.
I mean, as I joked, it'd be like the boxing where they do a press conference between the two teams and get the captains to roll around on the floor throwing chairs at each other just to build up the pay-per-view sales.
But that, sign that's... John Terry. We can get Wayne Bridge as well, and then we can have the perfect pre-game. put his wife and former Wayne Bridge's former partner in the middle, and we can have a good old. I'd buy that $6.99. No TV. Get it.
But the idea, because one of the things that you wouldn't be able to really sell an annual subscription to this, because if Sky have got the game, and if Sky have got the game, there's some overseas company will have the game that will not be shown on this format, and obviously you'll be watching it on TV. So if, for example, if Villa are successful and we're suddenly playing good football and we're in the promotion spaces and Sky are going, yeah, let's have a bit of this, let's get Villa on all the time, then suddenly if you'd bought an annual subscription, you'd get obviously less games than you bargained for. So it's going to be pay-per-view, you know, one-off for every game. And apparently I asked him about the entry price point and he said it's going to be competitive. I mean, that could mean anything.
Yeah, what does that mean? Competitive with who?
It's like, how cheap is it going to be for a stream that keeps breaking down? The online ticketing is all going to be revamped as well. They always say that every year, but this they've had to wait until the contract actually went out. So they're getting rid of Ticketmaster. B6, the Flag Boys, will be in the R block of North Stand. They won't be in the Holt End.
Oh, they've been decamped.
At this moment in time. And the loyalty scheme will finally be rolled out soon. I don't think it's as extensive as some of the like American models.
This is something we really struggle with, isn't it? The loyalty bit, I think. We've really been quite poor, I think, over the years at recognising fans' loyalty.
Yeah, because the American system's quite detailed. Like some of the clubs there, whether it's, you know, NFL, baseball, whatever, you get, you'll get points for every game that you go to. But for example, if it's, like, let's say in the equivalent in the UK, if it's Newcastle away on a Monday night, you'll get more points going to that than Villa Park at home against the Blues. And if it's raining, you'd even get extra points for turning up and all that kind of stuff.
I think it's...
But this won't be as detailed as that.
Yeah, I mean, I can understand why. And I always think, for any people who have ever signed up to the, I don't know, the air miles type things with different airlines and the hotel type loyalty schemes, the difference between British, European and American reward systems is stark, really. And I wonder whether there's a bit of that... British or European, well, you've paid your price, you've had your product on your way, and the American of, you know...
The customer is always right.
Yeah, there's a lot, I mean, it's true, isn't it? It's true, and one of the biggest gripes of fans who I've spoken to, particularly around the loyalty thing and even extended to, you know, just people who sit around me, it's stark and it's amazing how, given that, you know, the cost of watching football and the cost of the football that we've watched over the years, let's be honest, the standard of football, how the club hasn't seen fit to say, do you know what? I mean, look at Huddersfield.
It's free. It's free to get in.
Well, I don't think people want free necessarily, but some recognition and not just token gestures either. Look at the Huddersfield season tickets this season. Those fans who bought back, was it 4 or 5 years ago?
Yeah.
You know, they made that promise that if we get up within 5 years or whatever, you get your Premier League season ticket for £100. Well,
that's how you build relationships with your supporters.
Shows the ambition they've achieved.
You
know, hats off to them. They got up by the skin of the teeth, but they got up. And they've rewarded those fans who, you know, I have to say, I didn't take much notice of Huddersfield a year ago. You know, so I wonder what first few years look like, you know. So fair play to them, actually.
Steve Bruce used to be the manager of Huddersfield. And in those days, I think it was the 1999-2000 season, he put in a bid of $750,000 for a young John Terry, who was 19 years old. Fiali accepted it, said, on your way, John, because they had Leboeuf and Desailly in those days. But Terry wanted to stay. So old Brucey boy and Terry go way back.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow.
So just recapping on this, safe standing, Keith Wyness is pushing it behind the scenes. They don't want to put noses out by going public on that.
Mm.
But that's very much on the agenda. They want to see it. And obviously Shrewsbury now are, I think they've applied and got accepted to, but obviously they're in a lower division, so it's a bit easier to implement there. Wyness actually said he thought that Scudamore would have greenlit safe standing in the Premier League last month, and he was surprised that it wasn't. So that must mean it's on the cards pretty soon.
Mm. It is a political hot potato, isn't it, as well?
It's all about the kind of regulations and politics that have to really be sorted out. I mean, the Tories or the government have basically said it's not on the agenda at the moment. Well, I mean, just put it on the agenda and sort it out and let's get on with it.
Difficult to know what is on the agenda with this government, but anyway.
It's very true.
No
Now it's time for Twitter with Tony. May 23rd. Done a cardiology surgery today. Been worried for 20 years. It tells that once there's any problem, we can't escape. Have to solve it. June 3rd. I can tell the percentage of the truth of all the transfer news related to us, no matter showing where. 0%. June 13th. 1 year ago, passed FA's proper test and started my Villa adventure, also Villa's revival long journey. June 21st. Quoted Jose M. I'm not going to talk about a player who still belongs to another club, as JT's contract with CFC expires until 1st of July. June 25th. Actually, I agree with Diorg said, championship isn't that difficult, as lots of people described, more as a good excuse. There's no retreat! Hashtag Villa till I die.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Let's get back on track. We were mentioning the OAP recruitment policy. John Terry, as you said to me earlier on, Mr. Marmite to a lot of fans.
This could either be fantastic or the biggest PR nightmare in PR nightmare terms. Yeah. I'll put it this way. He's a genuine name. He's a proven winner. But I think that we always try to bring some balance, and I was trying to bring some balance to my thoughts about Terry.
Yeah.
Because I'd forgotten the list of misdemeanors, and I'm going to go through them very, very quickly.
Go on then, hurry up. I'll just brew a cup of tea while you're going through them.
Okay, 2008, £60 parking fine for parking his Bentley in a handicapped spot outside a pizza shop.
Bastard.
Clubs and bars. So in 2002, he got into a fracas with Jodie Morris and was arrested and charged with assault on a doorman.
Mm-hmm. We've all been there.
Yeah, well, aren't we? Urination in odd places, that was... I'm only reading
Where we've all been there as well, carry on.
Yeah, pissing in a pint glass. So that's up there with Samir Carruthers, former Villa man, for anyone who can remember pissing in a pint glass. I think it was Chapman. Yeah, anyway, pissed in the glass, left in the middle of a club, got it, gets escorted out, gets a fine, I think. Dubious incident with a 17-year-old girl that was reported in the Mail. Reports in the 2006.
They're always right, the Mail.
Well, I put it in there for legal reasons.
Come on, I'm playing Terry's defence counsel at the
moment. Yeah, you can be the defence counsel here. One of my favourite ones is he apparently said that he would turn up to open a pet shop. Anyway, they booked the appearance, all that yada yada. Anyway, it doesn't show, hundreds of fans let down. That's a minor misdemeanor compared to the next one, which was...
Well, can you cut to the meat and gravy?
No. Anyway, 9/11 kicks off. A terrible day that was. They get grounded on a flight, so they think that, yeah, the best thing to do is go on the piss at Heathrow and throw food and taunt a group of American stranded travellers. Whoops. Gets a fine. Suspended before the Champions League final, needlessly for kneeing Alexis Sanchez in the back of the thigh.
Oh, we've all done that. We've all been there.
accused of racism. So
that's the famous Anton Ferdinand reading. Well, to be honest, if you just boiled this down to the Anton Ferdinand and Wayne Bridge, then we would cut to the chase there.
But people, this is context, isn't it? That I didn't have to look far, and these are 10 things that just putting his name into Google throw up, and you go.
But are we? This is football. I mean, you could find reasons not to sign any footballer because most of them are arseholes.
I don't disagree with you. What I do find staggering is that take the Wayne Bridge thing. Not only did he cheat on his wife, who they got kids with, for 4 months on his, you know, whilst he's playing with the same teammate. He then pays £800,000 to shut up and not say anything about it.
Yeah, but
or have an abortion.
That's the kind of the way of the world. I mean, in this circumstance, the reasons not to
great
sign
footballer,
him.
Great footballer, terrible character.
Yeah, well, we all know that. The reasons not to sign him, in my book, would be he's 37 in December. He's played 9 league games last season. He missed 10 games of the season through 2 different injuries. I think he was out for 5 games for each. Now, you know, we saw what Robert Perez did when he turned up, and you're just like watching a ghost of himself. And, you know, both of these players have won a hell of a lot of trophies.
Do you mind? He's the only World Cup winner to play for Aston Villa. Do you mind?
The Invincibles and all that kind of stuff. And all this is good. And John Terry's Champions League and UEFA Cup and league wins and doubles. But none of that matters on the pitch at Villa Park next season. It's all irrelevant. We want to know, has he got any gas in the tank? What's his motivation? Is he, when he turns 37 and it's getting wet and windy in December, and Villa are like fannying around mid-table, you know, he's going to get depressed thinking about, well, my career's over now, the glory days have gone. You know, what am I doing here? What he's doing is trying to pick up an extra few million on his way out. So that's my concern, is what is his motivation? Has he got any gas in the tank? And what are Villa doing? Is this a case of Dr. Tony buying a glorified mascot to impress, you know, the Chinese football community and saying, we've got one of the best players? Because he was the highest paid player in the Premier League in 2007.
I mean, are you suggesting, is this the...
This is a bit of a Di Matteo.
The Di Matteo moment. Yes, I was,
exactly.
I was about to say, but on the field.
So that's my concern. I mean, you know, oh, he's a winner, blah, blah. Yeah, well, he's a winner when he's got one of the most expensive assembled teams around him playing. And he's obviously in his late 20s or
actually,
whatever.
Actually, to be honest, David, we've got one of the most expensive assembled teams. So that's not the definition of success.
But
Christ
you know
almighty,
I mean.
I tell you, have you been in the sun? Jesus.
But you know what I mean. It's a different caliber compared to... I mean, we're spending, you know, 10, 15 million on Scott Hogan.
Playing alongside some of the finest centre-halves in world football. Oh, yeah, today you're going to be playing along Tommy Elphick. Oh, he's injured. Oh, hang on. Mika, put that food down. Come play with John here.
But no, it's a different caliber fish. So it only works if we get promoted. That's the bottom line. If we don't, then it's like all this money that we could have spent on a player that would have been a younger and would have had some long-term value. A, we could have got cheaper and then would have potential some sell-on, or he would have gained experience in this another failed season to maybe be better the next season. John Terry, if we fail this season, then that's just, you know, 4 or 5 million down a dark hole in the ground.
Well, we would have to have some legs alongside him, wouldn't we? And I think that's where his Premier League career came to an end over the last couple of seasons, really, that the turn of pace had left him, hadn't it? And I would worry.
Also,
at championship
age.
Level. He's like, there's no getting away from it. Listen, this could be a real coup to have. I don't want to say the word marquee signing, because he wouldn't be a marquee signing because of his age and because of where he's at in his career, but he is a name. And I don't know what...
Does that
bring an aura to the club? I don't know.
What it gives us is... It gets us in the papers, which the spin-on effect of that is it creates a buzz and you'll get people, you know, with the shirt sales, Terry on the back, shirt sales go up.
It would either be a genius.
But, you know, maybe he has a spin-off on season tickets. You also, in terms of match day tickets, you're suddenly getting Villa fans that have defaulted. That curiosity value of seeing Terry in a Villa shirt, and that also spins off to Sky when they're selecting. You know, it's the curiosity.
Well, the championship becomes immediately more interesting. No one's going to watch the Chinese Super League. I wouldn't watch it if you paid me. This is the crazy thing about that stupid list of things that I reeled off from a list of John Terry's misdemeanors, if you like. Despite that, I would be genuinely interested to see him in a Villa shirt. I don't think that, I don't know what the outcome would be, by the way. But would I be interested? Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I so would I. And I think that is the that's the bottom line on the whole debate. I mean, if it was my money, if I owned Aston Villa, I'd be like, no, it's not worth it. Unless I, you know, I did the maths on what I've just been talking about, the TV extra TV interest, the shirt sales, and obviously gate receipts.
It's all relative.
All
I agree. It's all relative. It gives. I mean, he has to be a recognisable figure to most football fans who've watched football. You know, top level European football over the last 20 years. So,
you know, where we're on the subject, I mean, there was no point in kind of doing shows discussing every transfer rumour as they come out weekly. I mean, there hasn't been that much, and, you know, nothing's really going to happen until the window opened on July the 1st. I mean, Glenn Whelan, I mean, here's another oldie boy. I mean, he's what you call a consummate pros? Kind of unspectacular, but totally reliable. Yeah. And Stoke fans will, you know, back him up because he's one of the reasons why they became this kind of solid mid-table team.
He's sort of, because you know the reaction, the social media reaction is, oh my God, this is the most underwhelming signing ever. I'm tearing my season ticket up.
Yeah.
It would be an underwhelming signing. There's, you know, that's the opposite of the Terry, isn't it? No one's going to be rushing out to buy a shirt with Whelan on the back.
Yeah.
But in mid-December when it's pissing down with rain and we need to hold on to a victory in Preston, you know, that's probably the guy you want alongside or in place of someone like a Jedinak kicking fucking lumps out of keep it defending the win or you know what I mean? It's there would be a place in a squad for him, I think.
Suddenly you've got Jedinak, 32, going on 33, Terry, 46, going on 47. Whelan, 33, going on 34. And it's kind of Villa's very much about the short term this season. And if they fail, then all these guys probably disappear.
Yeah.
And then you're left with less money in the bank the next season, and you've got to obviously replace them. So you start to, it's like law of diminishing returns.
Well, we take no pride, and I certainly don't take any pride that we, you know, rewind our websites and this podcast a year, and we talked at some length about the financial fair play bit, and I'm not going to go through it again. It is a dry subject, but we've got to get up this season, else it will cripple us, and it will. This is a very, very big season, and that's why I suppose we are examining Terry and the Whelans, because these signings are pivotal now. They're pivotal because the money, we haven't got the flex that we did last season, and that's because, you know, it's a strong view that I hold, but I think we made, despite the fantastic investment, I think we made some woefully stupid mistakes, and mistakes that have been made time and time again in football around purchasing and waste of wages particularly.
I did say to Wyness, just, you know, generally speaking, after last season, what are we doing to reset the mentality and come out the traps this upcoming season as winners, as a team that are favourites to win the championship? Because, I mean, last season, it's almost like we just carried on this wishy-washy notion of who we are as a club and what we should be doing. I mean, people are starting to even now accept, oh, well, it's going to take another season, you know, be happy with mid-table this season. It's like, you can shoot yourself now because...
Well, you've got a revision from even the owner, really. The owner's gone from Champions League winners within...
To 20-year
plan. To 20-year... And to be honest, that's probably, as much as I hate to say it, because we've had 20 years of decline, that's probably how you rectify something like this in a you know, without throwing Abramovich style money at it. But you can improve gradually quicker than that, I think. But it just shows you how.
Yeah, I mean, come on. I mean, how many? I'm getting bored of mentioning Sunderland, who are in complete disarray, and I think they are again. But they were like finishing bottom on 15 points, owner disappearing, new owner coming in, which was a bit flaky. And they won the championship the next season.
They did. Listen, I'm no defender of this. I'm definitely repeating myself, but I think the investment from Zai is fantastic. It was exactly what we needed, but I think how we chose to use it, and this is the bit of the awkward scrabbling from the club, really. It was used woefully. Look at the money we wasted on the Tish Bowlers, and I'm not going to list the names, but
Elphick and Gallini. We paid over the odds for most players. We paid well over the odds for most players,
and it's crippled us. It's crippled us. You know, we're approaching a new season with a £10+ million striker in Ross McCormack, who everywhere else he'd been, he'd put 20 goals a season away.
Yeah.
And we've got a wreck, haven't we? Is he going to be rehabilitated?
Talking about what we should be doing and this up 20 years and all that kind of baloney.
20
just
years.
Just look who's in the Premier League now. You've got teams like Burnley, Watford, Stoke, all solidifying themselves. So this is, and Huddersfield got promoted. So one thing, the championship is not that hard. And now, if you just get your act together, and this, we're talking about just having a manager who can organise a team, you can sustain yourself in the Premier League. The big,
Newcastle
big question,
were the best example last season.
But in terms of this whole the 5-year plan, the 20-year plan, now this is more like where we see Villa ultimately, which should be back in the top six. Now that's another story. That's another almost an exercise in itself. Is do we have the infrastructure and the know-how and all that kind of stuff in place to get Villa back up there? But that's quite a long way away, because at the moment, the here and now isn't that hard. To get out of the championship for a team like Villa shouldn't be that easy, and then to stay in the Premier League, considering the clubs with what that some of them are a third of the size of Villa have managed to maintain themselves there and exist, that shows you the level of what we're operating at, and we're making this thing harder than it actually is.
Well, that was the slip over the years, and there weren't many things that I agreed with the former CEO Tom Fox about, but his quote on how Villa had become a parochial local club, you know, whilst smaller regional teams had bypassed them. I think he gave the example of someone like a Swansea. You know, Swansea had become an organised, efficient in every department, whereas Villa were ambling along, really, and had become content over many years. Not just, you know, that top six notion had long since eroded, really, at Villa Park over a number of years, and there'd been there was that peak under O'Neill. But beyond that, you know, not a fat lot to cheer over the last great number of seasons.
All the stuff which essentially is the infrastructure of the club, we were discussing in this meeting at the supporters consultation group meeting, was this eradication of what should have been in place over the last 20 years. You know, they're having over the last year or so to replace equipment and the catering because it's out of date. There's like
that's staggering lots of, you know, to me. That is staggering, isn't it?
The ticketing system and all this kind of stuff, it's all outdated. And you think, well, what was happening? I think under Lerner, one of the big problems was Faulkner had no infrastructure around him. He had Nicky Key and Brian Dugan, who was the media person, and they were having to spend half their, let's say, time at the club doing things outside of their remit, which they're not actually qualified to do. And Faulkner should have had more of a let's say board level or executive personnel around him to actually tackle various jobs. I mean, there's a lot more chiefs now at Villa than there used to be, like proper chiefs, and you had people in positions that had to inflate their importance to the club basically because there wasn't anybody actually employed to do certain things there. And, you know, Faulkner was one man when it perhaps should have been three men tackling the running of Villa. And it's all, you know, one person can only handle so much, and the offshot is kind of decayed.
No, should we just end it on decayed?
Decayed. But, as I said earlier on, a lot of the bigger plans of Dr. Tony can only happen if we get promoted. So while we're treading water, what they're trying to do in a nutshell is just repair the infrastructure, you know, behind the scenes. And
I think that's understandable, and that's a huge area of sympathy that I would have with the owner, really, that there has to be the playing bit is a very visible thing that's probably, you know, they've thrown a lot of money at that over two transfer windows and whatnot. But the stuff behind the scenes, that takes time in not just identifying people, but actually identifying, as you've been saying, what people do we need. And the standout bit of that for me, just in linking it back to the playing field, would be how I think we were under the illusion that despite having great infrastructure at Bodymore Heath, that actually the coaching and the methodology behind that was quite modern. Well, actually it wasn't. It was, you know, the packaging was great, but actually the product was shit, you know, and that's the facts. I don't want to sit here and say that our academy isn't very good, but actually how many players have we seen, how many players do you see across English football, really, I suppose, come through the academy system? But as a team like Villa, where we've got such catchment in the local area, all the facilities, all that money over such a long period of time, that's telling, and that's the kind of thing that I hope that we start to see. That perhaps is the 20-year plan, isn't it? It might take us 5, 10, 15 years to build that sort of infrastructure up, but we've got to get the right people in. We really have got to, and that takes time.
But there shouldn't be any excuse not to be at least a mid-table Premier League team while we are doing all this stuff.
Well, I agree with you, and that's
why
we're
kind of making excuses for failure across the board. You know, oh, it's going to take 20 years to do this. Oh, the championship's such a tough league, and it's like, no, just get on with it. Come on.
And I think we should. I think we should take a you know, no fan of Newcastle, but they just got on with it last season, didn't they? And they dragged themselves back up to the Premier League. It wasn't pretty at times, but it was damn effective.
As Villa did when we last got relegated. There was only one. Mm. I mean, I remember as a kid just thinking, well, there's only one thing this season, that's promotion. And that was the only goal. There was no feeling sorry for ourselves and saying, well, we were so in such bad shape last season, it's going to take two or three seasons to recover. It was like, no, we're down. Let's get out of here ASAP, because the Championship, in my opinion, is a pile of shit. And I'm more of a football purist, and I enjoy going to other grounds, and I don't like the Premier League, so I don't like anything about football. It's probably the conclusion.
You really should take more of an interest in cricket. It's this fantastic new sport that I've found.
But the actual
just down the road.
But in terms of being a Villa supporter, in terms of, yes, there is this entitlement, because we are a big club, because we've got the big stadium, we've won some shit in history and all that kind of stuff. And that's where we should be at. That's, you know, that's our home. And to be in the Championship, and, you know, we saw it last season. Okay, we weren't getting beaten all the time, which was a departure from the seasons before. But it wasn't entertainment in the sense of football.
Well, it was you think of that January through to March period. We briefly flirted with relegation. I mean, that's, you know, if we hadn't have steered that back the other way, that would have been an interesting close end of season.
Moving onwards and upwards into next season. Wyness actually said they had a kind of pre-season in Portugal as well. I think that's why we saw Bruce
golfing on the
flicking his golf clubs around, and they invited all the players, obviously ones that weren't involved in the Caribbean Cup and the England's under 21s, so Mr. Grealish. If they wanted to, they had some villas out there, and if a player wanted to bring over their family, what the idea was, they'd train in the morning, and then obviously the rest of the day it's kind of holiday time. And they expected like four players to take them up on it, and apparently 12 took them up on it. So I don't know if that's, you could read that two ways. One is the players are really focused and they want to get back and get promoted, or they were just taking advantage of a free holiday to take their family out into some Portuguese some villas. But hopefully it's the former. In terms of a potential Chinese tour, Dr. Tony taking the Villa squad off to the heartland, Wyness said that's like a couple of years away if that's going to happen. It's not going to happen in the immediate future, which kind of makes sense. I think they need to establish themselves as an entity to be proud of, you know, to kind of show off in China.
Yes.
Roughly translated is he needs a Premier League team really to show off.
Need something to market. I mean, we just need to get on and get out of this goddamn division this year, don't we?
Yeah, it's a simple message from this podcast, and that's promotion, promotion, promotion.
Promotion. At all costs.
At all costs. I want to say hello and welcome to some new patrons, if I may. Thank you very much.
You may.
David Rose, Sean Kettle, Graham Bolton, Trev Linock, Andy Ward, David Rose. Oh, that's a repeat.
David Rose, you signed up twice. Fantastic. More patrons should do that.
Bob Stevenson from America. I saw you in Twin Peaks the other week. Mark Coleman, Steve Box, John Chamberlain, John Knight. Thank you very much. Sam Mitchell, Matt Hall, Andrew Rushton, Alex Taylor, Kieran Dimmick, Ian Edwards, Peter Smallbone, thank you very much. And if I've missed anybody, apologies there. Oh, by the way, I've now added a little widget on the bottom of the website. So if you're resistant on joining the My Old Man Said patrons to support the website and the podcast because it's in dollars, you can now sign up monthly in pounds. Although you won't get like the messages from the patron, I will include you in the patron reward scheme. And also, if there's enough people, then set up an email list, so any messages also get sent out on that. It's now easy. You can just pay by PayPal or whatever else. Just look at the bottom of the website of myoldmansaid.com. What do you think is going to happen before the next time we meet? I'm expecting, I think Amavi would be on his way out by then.
You'd think so. Maybe Carlos Hill as well, if the Spanish side, Depor, can stump up the cash.
Because you've got to, I mean, one thing you've got to consider is these players are coming back for pre-season training. So, you know, all these people have been exiled for a season. Do they really want to be coming back to Bodymore Heath to kind of almost like go through the motions while they're trying to get out there?
Nah,
it's not kind of ideal. And from a Villa point of view, you want to be bedding down your kind of promotion squad, who are all pulling in the same direction. So I would imagine they would be kind of quite Swift sells there. Then there's this other thing, Sam Johnson, which I thought that was almost a given that he was a Villa player next season. But this, we have to sort out the goalkeeper. I mean, that's the main
I still think we need two goalkeepers.
Oh, yeah, no. I was going to say, sort out the goalkeeper situation. We do need two, I agree.
We were woefully unprepared the beginning of last season when we signed Gallini. And Mark Bunn, I think it's fair to say he's not up to it. And Jed Steer is still injured, as far as I'm aware.
The only question is he good enough for Villa? I mean, that's open to debate.
He had his moments. I thought he improved through his spell.
Yeah, I mean, he's young and obviously he was going to need time to bed in. But I don't know. We need, as you say, two. I mean, if he's one of them, then that's fair enough.
I think we discussed before, we need to, firstly for the competition. I mean, him, and I wonder whether, I am repeating myself from a previous podcast, I wonder whether he could run the risk of being bought and then we buy a more senior goalkeeper and opt for the senior goalkeeper. I could see that being...
Yeah, that's a Sam Johnson problem. It's not our problem.
It is. Screw him. Screw him. Where is Shay Given? Is Brad Guzan anywhere?
Apparently Given's on the market, free agent.
Stranger things have happened.
No, it's over. Right, Dan, good to know that you're still alive.
I am. And, right, I need to go back to stalking Villa players on Snapchat.
Yeah, you've got to go back to see what Mark Bunn's been up to the last couple of hours while we've been recording this. Or the last hour, should I say.
It's driving Sam Johnson.
Don't forget, people, subscribe. iTunes, subscribe on iTunes. iTunes, subscribe. This is a subliminal message. I am now subscribing to the My Old Man Said podcast on iTunes. Just subscribe. And also share. If you enjoy the show and it makes you laugh, and we're going to have to, we'll be warming up. Once the season starts, we'll be hilarious.
Especially after we've lost the first six games. That'll be, the humour.
we could go through the fixtures and, oh, this is a tough period and, oh, but I just look at that fixtures and say we should beat them all, really. So there isn't such a thing as a tough game. So at the moment, I'm going to ask you this question as we progress through the pre-season, and I'll ask you it on the eve of the first game of the season. Where do you see us finishing next season? Don't worry, this isn't sacrosanct, because we will be evolving our opinion over the coming weeks.
Here and now, I think we're playoffs material. I'm not going to say place.
That, for me, would be kind of a disappointed season. I mean... No. Where I expect us to be is automatic promotion. That's where we should be.
Have you seen enough yet to suggest that?
No,
would be...
we haven't seen anything.
No.
All I'm banking on is we bought a lot of players in January who did bugger all, but they can only improve.
Yes.
I mean, the Iceland guy, Thor. I mean, he's not a crap player. All of a sudden, he'll definitely contribute. If they can sort out Hogan, well, they can sort out a way of playing forward. Yes. If they can sort out doing stuff on the other side of the halfway line.
Maybe the pitch is on a slope.
What kind of degrees there? That's what I was. And there's always a gale force wind blowing into yet another.
It's the sighing.
Place.
It's the sighing from the whole time. Oh.
It's the snoring.
Sucking the ball into our own net.
Oh dear. We'll try to remain positive throughout this pre-season, but certainly at the moment it's hard to pluck a place where we'll finish, and hopefully we'll get some more clues over
you
the
can't, hang on a minute, you can't ask me a question month. Put me on the spot and go,
oh, you want?
Anyway, I think we'll finish in the where do you think we'll finish?
Sorry, what was your you know, but you didn't answer. You said anything in the playoffs.
I don't know. I know you. You'll get this clip and you'll produce it in May.
Give me a spot. One spot.
Fourth.
Ooh. Higher than a fourth. I'm going higher than a fourth.
I want us to finish one or two, but well, I have not seen enough.
The aim, I mean, we have to rebuild a whole football philosophy. I mean, the aim this season, without a doubt, should be top two automatic promotion. But we can look at the squad and you can think, well, we've got a squad to do well, but we haven't got a way of playing, which suggests we can be winners consistently.
Mm.
Throughout the league campaign. So at the moment I'd be hedging my bets and I would say we'll finish third, which in a third in a way that we'll be kind of quite disappointed with it, because we would be close enough to finish in the top two, and at the end of the season we'll think, well, that's where we should have finished. And then, I mean, if we get in the playoffs, I think just from the point of view of having a big home crowd, there's going to be such a big advantage that would hopefully pull us through. But anyway, we'll revisit this prediction when a few more clues drop in, i.e. transfers, and we get closer to the start of the season. Until then, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
My old man said...
June 23rd. While we are very fucking... June 23rd. Right. June 23rd. While we very often hear lots of people missing previous players, I still have one old saying in my mind. A good...
Right.
June 23rd. While we very often hear lots of people missing previous players, I still have one old saying in my mind. A good horse does not eat back to grass.
Fuck. One last go.
Right, I'm ready. June 23rd. While we very often hear lots of people missing previous players. Players? Fucking goddamn. Sitting in my pants recording Tony's on. June 23rd. While we very often hear lots of people missing previous players, I still have one old saying in my mind. A good horse does not eat back to grass.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.